public. Are there any comments regarding consent number seven, agenda items? Item number seven, consent agenda. For efficiency, items have been consolidated into a consent agenda to be voted on together. The materials for these items have been distributed to the council in advance of the meeting. At this time, are there any items that the council would like removed from the consent agenda to be discussed or voted on separately? Motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Could you please call the roll?
Councilor Lord?
Yes.
Councilor Khan?
Yes.
Councilor Lord?
Yes.
Councilor Shad?
Yes.
Councilor Aaron?
Yes.
Council President McCullough?
Yes, thank you. Item number eight, are there any announcements or comments from officials? Councilman Lord? Councilor Khan?
No, thank you.
Councilor Lord?
None at this time.
Councilman Kapil Shah?
Thank you.
Councilman Frank Gern? Our mayor? At this time, I'd like to open it up for some additional comments.
Yes, if I may, Council President, last week, unfortunately, I was able to fly to the meeting late. It was on a fire call. However, there were some comments made at the meeting in regards to EMS services. And I'd like to have Chief Carpenter and Ted Moser come up on stage. Jim, if you move down there. Chief, you want to come up?
Thank you.
Address some of the comments that were made at the last meeting by some of the squad, one of the squad folks. So.
Thank you. A quick reminder, if you could just maybe introduce yourselves and just press the button so that they could, the audience can actually hear you and we can record what you're stating.
First of all, I want to thank Chief Cartmel and Chief Lieutenant Mosher for coming here today, because I thought it's important that the council member know, and I know they do know, what transpired with some of the questions about the squads. I do think what was said at the meeting last night was not factually correct, and I think the department's going to lay that to rest.
And Mayor, just for the record, at the last meeting, correct?
That's
not last night. Okay, thanks. Okay, Chief?
Can everybody hear me? Is this correct? Okay. Good evening. I'm Chief Scott Carmo from the Scott. I'm Chief Scott Carmel from the Scout Police Department. Mayor, thank you for asking us to come tonight. The mayor and I discussed, there were some questions raised or some possible facts brought up at the meeting last week about EMS services in the township. The lieutenant and I are here tonight to tell you, rest assured, there are not issues with EMS services in this township. We take public safety and the safety of our citizens very seriously. I would comment that any claims to the contrary are false at worst and disingenuous at best. So please rest assured, the police department and the EMS services are functioning very well in this township. A quick comment on a couple of things. This is not any criticism in any way, shape, or form of our volunteers or our rescue squads, but I would submit to you, and I will state with the facts to back it up, that the police, by virtue of the fact that we are on the road 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, are the first ones on scene. Because of that, many, many more lives are saved because the police are there. I will give you some statistics quickly for your edification. These are a list compiled by Lieutenant Hackler in our records section. The first one is for what I would call CPR and AED, automatic defibrillator saves, by the police department from 2015 to 2017. There were five in 2015, seven people saved in 2016, and three last year, bringing a total of 15 saved by the police department alone, who were the first ones on the scene.
Scott, can I just interrupt you for 1 second? Because we should recognize that Lieutenant Mosher was one of those individuals who came to the scene and did CPR successfully.
Correct, that's absolutely correct. Thank you for pointing that out. Also now, unfortunately, in today's day and age, with the opioid epidemic taking hold in this, not only this state, but this township, we have seen a great increase in responses to overdoses by the police department. So some facts for you on this one. In 2015, there were 23 overdose calls responded to by our police officers. 10 were confirmed heroin use. Six of those 10, we had to deploy the naloxone or the Narcan spray, which is used now to counteract the effects of the heroin. And in 2015, zero calls resulted in death. So six out of six people were saved. In 2016, we had 29 overdose calls responded to by police officers, and 20 out of the 22 people were saved by the actions of the police officers. And last year, we had 32 overdose calls responded to by officers, 18 of which were confirmed heroin users. 13 out of the 16 that the naloxone was deployed were saved by police officers. So over the last 3 years, 39 out of 44 people's lives were saved from heroin overdoses by the actions of the police department. If you combine that with the total for the CPR saves, that brings the total 54 people saved in the last 3 years by the actions of the police department. So I give you these statistics because I want you to feel confident, because the police are out there 24 hours a day, we are the first ones on scene. The statistics are that, or anyone that stands up here and cites that lives are being lost or is trying to create some sort of public hysteria on this, as again, I would say is disingenuous at best. Lieutenant Mosier came along, and I'm gonna turn it over to him. He's gonna explain some of the claims that were made last week, and he did some research and can better elaborate on this.
As the Chief of State, I'm Lieutenant Mosier. The Traffic Safety Division. I also am the EMS Fire Department Emergency Services Liaison for the town. So I too am pleased that we are here to make these comments because the protocols are sound. The dispatchers here do a fantastic job in a high-stress, high-impact situation, and they continually day in and day out. And if anyone wants to come see them operate tomorrow in a snowstorm, what goes on in that room, you will be amazed how it's all done and settled. So let me start by saying that the letter that Mr. Shigosky referenced last year that the mayor signed was solely written in support of River Run Rescue Squad's actions to bill the patients that they transport through their insurance companies. That was the sole reason for issuing that letter. It was never meant to limit the mayor or the chief's authority in dispatch protocols. That's just simply not what it was produced to do. I too believe that Mr. Shigosky's words are disingenuous and blatantly false. The two persons that he referred to who lost their lives, that's tragic. And to indicate that those calls and the way they were handled resulted in a death is just simply a play on words to inflame passion. That is not what happened. There were no human errors and no errors in protocol responsible for those deaths. I'll go into the calls. If you have questions, certainly ask, because the times and the I'll try to run through them as quickly as I can. The December 26th incident that Mr. Shigosky referenced on a car into a house at 362 William Street. Nowhere in the police reports or in the CAD notes, the computer aided dispatch, can I find that there was an occupant of the car outside the vehicle unconscious. Nowhere do I see that. What did happen was that a woman who exited the house passed out at the scene. And she was unconscious and not responsive at the scene. Another ALS, Advanced Life Support, and BLS unit were dispatched. They The elderly female was transported within 16 minutes of the time that the officers asked for the second units. And
that's the time. Transported.
That's the time transported. I'm doing away with the times of, you know, the times that they were dispatched, the times that they arrived. But within 16 minutes of the time they were dispatched, they were transported to the hospital. And the victim from the car accident was dispatched, was transported within 23 minutes. That's from dispatch to rolling to the hospital. When the unit calls in, we're responding to the hospital to drop the patient off. Very, very good response times, very good ETA, very good, you know, getting the patient to the hospital. The second event is tragically a fatal motor vehicle accident at West 4th Street and Klein Place. The situation here is that the more than twice two units responded to the scene. So, with no disrespect to Mr. Shigosky, I think the times that he is referencing are getting mixed up for which unit is responding when. The first set of ambulances that arrived, tragically, the individual who was deceased at that scene, he could have suffered those injuries on an operating room table and no one would have saved him. He had catastrophic injuries. And you know, that's a tragic situation. So that's the one that occurred on West 4th Street. They the first set of ambulances were dispatched at 0343 and arrived at 0356. They responded from New Brunswick and Cedar Grove Lane. No patients went to the hospital. One of those ambulances was for the deceased person. The other person, at that time, RMA, refused medical attention. A considerable amount of time later, at 0446 and 0453, two more ambulances were dispatched again. One of them for a hand injury for one of the people that was in the car, and a second ambulance to transport the driver to the hospital so we could obtain blood for criminal prosecution. I think that's where the confusion lies. That the second set of ambulances were dispatched at 0446 and arrived 7 minutes later at 0453. You can't ask for anything better than 7 minutes. And then an hour after that, Robert Wood kept two ambulances on scene for us. The RMA was signed at 0545 and the transport for the blood was at 0453. So that's an hour later that we utilized two Robert Wood ambulances. Unfortunately, the last call on February 2nd on New Brunswick Avenue, that was a non-breather, a 64-year-old who had a long history of health issues. His wife on the scene did not even want CPR done. The officers did CPR because that's what they're trained to do. They don't have the authority to pronounce death, so they have to do CPR. When they hooked up the AED, it was no shock advised. That's a telltale. That person is deceased. JFK, ALS, and Robert Wood Johnson, BLS, were dispatched at 0431. And the deceased was pronounced at 0456. They were again updated that no shock was advised, and they arrived at 0441. That's a 10-minute ETA response. And then advanced life support, as I said, pronounced him dead at 0456. As the chief said, our protocols, our responses, the work that the officers do on scene, the work that the Robert Wood ambulances do on scene is sound. To create panic is disingenuous.
So I just want to thank both Chief Cartmell and Lieutenant Mosier for coming here this evening and providing us with the update, because that was a question that we had more or less meeting. So we just wanted to make sure that we, you know, did what we said we were going to actually do. And at this time, what I'd like to do is...
Unless one of the council members has a question.
I just want to say briefly, maybe the mayor maybe is an exception, but I may be the only one who's seen the police actually in action in the middle of the night. And there's some terrific police officers in this town that do a great job at the scene, all kinds of scenes that you can't possibly imagine that they respond to, with different kinds of emergencies, from car accidents to house fires to other situations. We've had two police officers be the first on scene and responded to a burning house and save a woman's life over on Rivercrest. I've seen police officers do all kinds of things well beyond what you think that police officers would do in this town, and I'm quite often in awe about how hands-on they are at the scene, take control of chaotic situations. So I'm really, frankly, rather, proud of our police department.
But it's a statement, and I'm very proud of the police department, because all the things you do for the community, you do a great job, each and every one of you.
I also want to thank our, Steve just mentioned, our fire department. I want to also thank our firemen and our volunteer rescue squad, volunteers as well. And we just want to thank everyone, but I think it's important that we clarify the situation, so thank you again.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, that's basically the exact same thing I wanted to say was thank you for coming. We thank you for what you do, and no discredit to any of our other volunteers, but thank you for clarifying those times.
And I left Michelle out. She's, I know, been out well enough. Go get some sleep, guys, because you got a long 24 hours.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. So at this time, I'd like to move to item number 9, which is open to the public. If you have any comments or questions, please state your name and your address. And you have 3 minutes in which to speak. Okay, I'd like to... Sure. If you could come up. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Ken Simmons with Tabula Piscataway. With the use of services from RWJ, are there any charges to the town because of that, or is it just an agreement?
I think the mayor was saying is that the patients would get a bill from Robert Johnson.
But in terms of having an agreement to use those ambulances, or dispatch, whatever the process is, there's no financial arrangement to be able to do that.
That's controlled by your insurance company.
I paid by the patients.
Yeah.
You mean the ambulance services, the agreement between the township and them to provide the services?
Correct.
There was a open public bidding process where multiple entities actually went ahead and bid. The township does not pay them a dollar for the services. We basically reviewed multiple services based on various factors and determined that Robert Wood Johnson was the best fit. But yes, the township does not pay them a dollar.
Okay, so overall it's designed to assist the EMS services that we have in town already.
Correct.
So not to take the place up.
Big problem with not having enough volunteer EMTs. The EMT training is very long and difficult. Requirements are difficult. And most towns in New Jersey are having a difficult time maintaining full-time rescue squads. We've got a lot of great volunteers, but we could not cover 24 hours a day with just the volunteers. So they supplement what our volunteers can't cover.
Okay.
we're fortunate in Piscataway to live by two major hospitals, three major hospitals.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons.
Good evening. I'm Shigaski River Road, 101 Shirley Parkway.
Good evening.
Kind of wish you would have kept the two gentlemen. You might have been able to clarify some things. First off, that gentleman just came up. You guys pay over $20,000 a year and increases every year for the five-year contract that you have for Robert Wood for Monday through Friday coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. There is actually no contract for nighttime, which means that they can fully bill whatever they want at night. I did want to start by saying thank you, Mr. Gatesy, for meeting with me to clarify what documentation we do need to get to you for that yearly contribution. Thank you so much. You guys also pay an annual, or it's every quarter you guys renew for weekend coverage as well. I was wondering how we set up that meeting that we talked about. I just wanted to go into a few things. I wish Mr. Lieutenant Mosier would have stayed. He stayed at the last emergency services meeting, which was the Wednesday after the past meeting that was this past Tuesday that I spoke at. He said that they have the schedules, that they've never had any issues about knowing when we're in or out of service. He also stated that he does not want us to put mutual aid on those schedules. We did do it as we requested at the last meeting. At the emergency services meeting, he said he got a copy of that. He asked that we refrain from assisting and asking for any sort of mutual aid services. What also kind of threw us for a loop is the OEM coordinator told us that Robert Wood's going to be posting up an ambulance at night at what used to be the police substation. In order to help South Plainfield coverage?
If I may, it hasn't been a substation for almost 5 years. It's emergency response, the OEM.
Okay, my apologies. That the building over on Rushmore, my apologies for not knowing the proper name. I'm not sure why we're hosting someone there for South Plainfield. It's kind of confusing to me when we're stating that we have EMS in town that could cover any area rather than covering our own respective islands.
The hospital actually requests that they have a dynamic system that, based on history, can predict where calls are going to be coming in from.
They have predictive software.
Correct. So they, based on that, they would, like, at certain times, be able to post an ambulance in that section of the town. So we agreed to allow them to use that building for the purposes when they need to go in there. They never discussed covering South Plainfield out of there with me, but I assume that if they have an ambulance there and there is a wall close by, that they'll respond to it. But it was done primarily to help them with their dispatch.
And this is a 24-hour ambulance or just at night? Because we were told it was
just when they predict that they're going to need it up there.
Because oddly enough, you know, the predictive software puts a hotspot over there, if you really think about it, because there are calls over there that aren't getting answered, unfortunately, they cover a few less nights than some others, and that's, everyone does their best. But, you know, predictive software is putting a hotspot over there because, you know, if Dunellen's covering their calls for the most part, and if Plainfield's got two trucks on 24/7, North Stellon River Road have a truck at night, and South Plainfield has a truck every night, and the only reason there's a hotspot over there is because we're not letting our town, you know, cover itself. With that said, I'm kind of confused as to what the chief said. You know, they said a lot about what the police do. And I think it's fantastic that they help, and that's great. We didn't really talk about the numbers of what EMS does. What I heard is we don't need to change anything because our officers go out there and do a great job. You know, there are no EMS numbers brought up. You know, a patient that passed out on a lawn, whether it's part of an accident or not, it was part of that call, passed out is unconscious. I didn't say that you guys caused or anyone caused anyone's life to be lost. I want it to be very, very clear. For me to come up here and accuse anyone of stating that someone did something left a lost life, that would be wrong, that would be erroneous, and that is not fair. What I am clearly stating is that we're preventing the opportunity of knowing what if you have an ambulance in town, also North Stellon staff in-house. If he said 15 minutes, Cedar Grove, that's in Franklin Township. Why would you be okay with 15 minutes? That's what we're not understanding. The point is that, you know, it could possibly be better. I appreciate what our officers do, but why 15 minutes? Robert Wood got there. That's great Robert Wood got there. He didn't address the fact that North Stellon told them that night they had two crews in-house. That we told them we have a crew in-house. They said they know we have a crew in-house. They didn't bring up scheduling. They didn't bring up any of these things. You know we're here. 15 minutes is great. He literally said it came from Franklin. So why not give people, you know, the benefit of the doubt? We're literally free. It's mind-boggling, you know. In the letter was meant so for billing purposes. So we're allowed to tell the state of New Jersey that for Medicaid purposes, this is how it is. But then when we turn around and we want to treat our own residents a certain way, that's not how it is. That they can, it's so much contradictory things, and it's just it's confusing. I really do appreciate what everyone does. That's absolutely true. And you know, we've interfaced with a lot of the officers. And unfortunately, I was on one of those calls where someone did overdose and they didn't make it. And it's hard. It's hard on everyone. Like, we want to be here for every single person that we can help. And to be able to just sit in our building and stare at a wall and we hear these calls going out and they're coming from Franklin, it's hard. I know I'm probably close to my 3 minutes. I will absolutely stop.
Yeah. So thank you. And we'll have, you know, some additional meetings as we stated last time. And you'll be able to follow up.
Do we reach out to you, or are we just not going to be present in these meetings, and we're just going to have to come to every council meeting?
You can actually reach out to Tim, so we're going to set up the meeting like we stated last time.
Absolutely. I will email you tomorrow, Mr. Dacey. Thank you so much.
Sure, no problem. Thank you. Any other comments or questions from the public at this time? If so, please come to the podium and state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes in which to speak.
David Aikens, Ambrose Valley Lane.
Good evening, Mr. Aikens.
Are we going through the consent agenda since we're on item 9?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Open to the public right now. On item L, Lima, the cancellation of the re-advertising of bid, are they referring to the 139 School Street?
No, this is, Council President, this has to do with the actual phase two construction of School Street. It's going to be rebuilt.
Okay. 139 School Street, which, from what I remember last meeting, the town is going to purchase that. If so...
No, it's so the other way. The adjacent property owner had asked to purchase that township piece of property.
So we're...
I
won't say item number F because that was last week. Let me just tell you what it was about. Authorizing change order number 1, restrooms renovation, not to exceed $7,858. Now, what did they find once they started doing these renovations in public works?
So, Mr. Aikens, is this from last week?
Yes, that's what I said.
So you'll have
That's why I can give you an item.
Yeah, sorry about that. So what we'll have to do is pull that information for you, unless you've had that information available. We don't have it in front of us from last week, so sorry about that.
Okay.
We can get back to you regarding it, though.
Okay. That's and for I shouldn't say item. Authorized professional construction maintenance services for the community center, Cummings Construction Management, not to exceed $106,700 and some change.
So, Mr. Aikens, is this from last week?
Yeah, yes, it is. That's why I didn't give you.
So what we'll do is we'll give you that information again. We can actually pull that. If you just want to just repeat your full question again so we can get it down.
Yes, that amount. What are they doing for that amount? Because there's been a lot of money, as far as I can remember, relating to the community center. So specifically,
we're in the process of finalizing the plans and finalizing the site work. And we're in the process of getting ready to bid it. We'll be bidding it sometime this summer. So they will be in charge of helping us bid it, helping making sure that the site work and the architect's work goes together, answering any questions that come with the bids that any bidders have
coordinate the bid and then helping us choose on a who awarded bid to. And when the project goes on, they're going to be the construction manager for the project.
Thank you. I will apologize. These questions I'm asking you now, I didn't get a chance to ask during the last.
I got you. Okay. Okay.
That's the only reason why I'm bringing these up now.
No
problem. That's all I have right now.
Thank you, Ms. Aiken. Are there any other comments or questions? Sure, sir. Please come to the podium, state your material. Sure, sure. Thank you. If you could please state your name, sir, and your address, and you have 3 minutes to speak.
Yes, my name is Junior Romero with Food & Water Watch. We're off of 100 Bayard Street, New Brunswick. Today we're advocating for an off fossil fuels resolution, and we're urging the council to support our cause in passing one. I didn't have copies for everyone regarding the resolution that East Brunswick just passed, but last month, East Brunswick Council, comprised of both Democrats and Republicans, unanimously supported to pass an off fossil fuels resolution of their own. This coincides with a national campaign where over 300 elected officials have now pledged their support for 100% renewable energy in the United States and in their towns and to get off fossil fuels. Atlantic City, East Brunswick, Princeton, Franklin Township, they've all passed off fossil fuels resolutions. Basically, this is because we need to avert a climate tipping point. We need to make sure that we transition to a clean energy, renewable energy economy, ASAP. And this is I was just wondering if the council has considered a resolution of this type.
Towns already supported the one from the U.S.
I think we did a resolution. That's very similar to this. Didn't you bring you brought a resolution to us once before?
I did.
Yes.
You and I talked about it, and I had some concern, though, was in support of it. In theory, it had some legal language in there that I thought, as a lawyer, I was uncomfortable with. Looking at this quickly, it looks like East Brunswick took some of that language out that could have limited all kinds of potential projects. This looks a little different than that. This is very similar to what we did, though. Am I right, Mayor?
Right, and I think we're supporting it, right, through the U.S. Council of Mayors as well?
Through the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
I think you were here when by chance, you came the day where that resolution was on the agenda, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Can I find it on the website, or the resolution?
Clerk was on vacation. She'll be back on Monday, so I'll be talking about Monday. Get a copy from the clerk.
Okay. I'm glad to see it. I hope it mentions 100% renewable energy. There's a lot of false solutions out there, like natural gas, which emits methane, which is a polluter, and it traps heat just as carbon dioxide does. Nuclear, we don't consider renewable, things like that, because of its waste. I was going to read a line from Laudato Si, the Pope. You know, he came out with this great diocese on renewable energy, but all of my comments for future.
Let me just say, we are a proponent of that, and we have solar power on the DPW building. We are planning an addition, probably the best way to call it, a pavilion addition at the police department, and that's going to have solar power on it. And the current plan for the community center is probably not going to have solar power in the initial construction, but it's designed specifically to be adaptable to add solar power into it as a component. And we're going to continue to use solar power around the town whenever we can. We have got a number of facilities, and the objective is any facilities we can add it to do so. Some, like this building, we can't structurally do it. But the community center is going to be designed specifically so that can be an added component, and the objective at some point in time will be to do that. Right. But the next project we're going to do with solar is going to be at the police department, correct, Mayor?
Good to hear. Awesome.
Thank you very much for coming. We appreciate it.
If I could just mention one more thing. Sorry, I don't know if my time's a little bit up. But there's statewide legislation, Senate Bill 1405. Basically, it would mandate that New Jersey get to 100% renewable portfolio standards, meaning utilities have to purchase 100% of their renewable electricity from renewable sources by 2035. It's very progressive, very aggressive, but it's what's necessary. So any communications y'all have with state legislators, I urge you to mention it, and just something that would benefit towns.
I think the governor supports that, right?
He supports the concept. We just need to get him a bill. Right. Awesome. Thanks so much.
So
sure, thank you.
And again, on Monday, you can go to the clerk's office. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the public at this time? Please come to the podium, state your name and address. You have 3 minutes to speak.
Junior's going to talk. Stacey Berger. Good evening. So I was just perusing the minutes from the January 2nd meeting, and I'm thrilled to see the second reading of the videotaping ordinance on your business agenda coming up. So it's good to see that people are keeping their New Year's resolutions. We're glad that you kept that one. I guess I don't understand why you can't just put stuff on the website. Like, it's not hard. It's 2018. Why does someone have to come down here and go to the clerk's office and get a piece of paper when we're talking about trying to be more environmentally conscious? It seems a little unusual. Like, is there some reason?
So we can't keep everything on the website?
But you can keep a lot of stuff. I mean, it's actually the internet. It's pretty big.
Yeah, but we can't keep everything. So I just want to just make sure that you're aware
you
of it.
I understand that you can't keep everything. That's like a Stephen Wright joke, right? Like, whole world on the internet. But it's the internet. It's a pretty big place. They have cloud storage service. It's pretty cheap, too. So I guess my question is, one of the things that we asked in the beginning of the year was that you try to be more transparent and more open, and it seems like the opposite of that has sort of happened. A lot of stuff's come off the website, including email addresses for the council and phone numbers. There used to be a spot where you could email the council itself, which I did last summer when we invited you all to come to the rally we held against the fascist display in Charlottesville. Didn't get a response. I know that some folks said they didn't get that email, but now that, I have a record of it, but that email page is now gone.
That's because it's being updated. So
but
we actually
can you
get
not
the email.
Can you not walk and shoot them at the same time? You can't leave that page up while you do something different. It's been gone for about a week.
It's all right. It's okay.
It's just disconcerting. It's just.
But I won't bother. You don't want me. I won't answer if you don't want me to. I was trying to answer your question, but I won't. Go ahead. Sorry.
I guess I'm suggesting that if it's producible on paper, it would be great to be able to just put it in an easy fashion for folks to get to, so they don't have to bother the clerk who is super busy with an OPA request for things that are just sort of routine, like a resolution or an agenda or minutes. There are things that should just be available to people by right, and also being able to contact your elected official by telephone or by email seems like a pretty modern but not inescapable thing. Like, it should be something that's
all our phone numbers are.
But yes. No, I understand that, but an email address would be really helpful. So
and I will say minutes are like 10 kilobytes.
Excuse me, right, but we can't have comments on the floor.
Let me make a comment.
Yeah, Lauren Hill said that, right? Two people can occupy the same space.
No, so what we would like to do, if we could, we just want to, if you have a question, right, we'll answer.
I'd like to know why you can't put current information on the website.
So
for this meeting, this agenda, the minutes that people are considering, the resolutions that have been for the last 6 months.
Let me answer that, please. Right now, we are taking a look at our website. So as a result, the kinds of functionality we want to make sure it's there. So as a result, we're trying to do that right now as we speak.
But it's not hard to put those things up.
We can walk and talk at the same time. What I'm telling you is that we are looking at our website to determine what, when, and how, right now as we speak.
Okay, so Jim, I think you answered the question, and I think your 3 minutes are up at this point in time. So
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure, thanks. Are there any other comments or questions from the public at this time?
Sure, what's up for you?
Tony Weil, 2250 Plainfield Avenue North.
Good evening, Mr. Weil.
How are you? I'm just going to echo what she said. I mean, this is 20 kilobytes. You can put hundreds of pages of minutes, meeting, you know, the transcripts of the meetings, etc., for virtually no cost. So, and as she said, the cloud storage is available. So it is 2018, and many towns around are doing just that. As many towns around are also doing the videotaping, rather than having me post to Facebook Live their meetings. So I just think it would be behoove that if we wanted an open government, it would make sense to make meetings available to the public, not make them traipse down here. I don't mind doing it, I'm retired. A lot of people can't do it. And I just, to me, it's people being more educated about what's happening in government, to me, can't be a bad thing.
Right. And there's some things that we're looking into. Thank you.
We just actually hired an employee. He's relatively new, and that's his job to do. And I don't know if we had anybody on staff that was really capable of doing the type of things that you're talking about before, and the different things you're talking about adding things and changing things. I think you're going to see all those things happen.
That'd be great.
I think what Jim was explaining is we needed to improve the structural functionality before you could add some additional content. The guy hasn't been here that long, but you'll see. I think you'll see that those things are going to unfold relatively soon. That was the purpose of hiring you in the first place.
And the other thing too, as we take a look at each of the departments, I think we have about 17 of them. We want to make sure that the department is efficient, so when you call in there, or when you see the information, you don't have to make calls to that department head or people of that nature. So that's what we're looking to as we speak.
So thank you for everyone for those comments.
Thank you.
And thank you for the questions. Are there any other additional comments or questions from the public at this time? I'd like a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. So I'd like to move on to the proposed agenda, please. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Adequate notice of this meeting has been required under Chapter 231, PL 1975, specifying the time, date, location, and to the extent known. The agenda by posting a copy of the notice on the municipal building, municipal court, and the two municipal library bulletin boards, providing a copy to the official newspapers of the township. My father copied the office of the township clerk in accordance with the certification by the clerk, which will be entered into the minutes. Tim, could you please call the roll?
Council Miller.
Here.
Council Hale.
Council McConnell.
Here.
Council Lindemarty.
Here.
Council Shah.
Here.
Council Herman.
Here.
Council President Hull.
Here. Could you please stand for the flag, sir?
The flag. The United States of America. To the Republic for which stands one nation, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
Item number 5, which is an ordinance on second reading, amending Chapter 2, Administration, Section 2-6, council meetings, which will be open to the public for resolution adopting the ordinance. Are there any comments or questions regarding this ordinance? Item number 5, a resolution of adoption of calendar year 2018 municipal budget. Are there any comments or questions? Item number 7, a resolution authorizing return of cash maintenance bond, SEMA LLC, Block 210, which is at 322 Rock Avenue. Are there any comments or questions? Item number 8, a resolution authorizing award of contract under National Cooperative Purchasing Agreement for several parks, Perrine, Redbud, Sturbridge, Tara, and Yorktown Parks. Any comments or questions? Item number 9, a resolution authorizing return of driveway bond to Scott Tomlinson at 211 Hamilton Boulevard. Are there any comments or questions at this time? Item number 10, a resolution authorizing return of engineering and inspection fees to several of our residents. Any comments or questions at this time? Item number 11, a resolution authorizing return of performance surety and cash bonds to 3 Corporate Place. Any comments or questions at this time? Item number 12, a resolution authorizing adjustment of the 2017 sewer billing to 20 Knightsbridge Road. Any comments or questions at this time? Item number 13, a resolution authorizing cancellation of the sewer billing for various blocks and lots. Any comments or questions? Item number 14, a resolution authorizing planning board to consider if property commonly known as 475 Stelton Road and designated as Block 5204, meets the statutory requirements to be declared an area in need of redevelopment. Any comments or questions at this time? Item number 15, a resolution supporting Middlesex County Project 1227, replacement of Bridge 2B160 and acceptance of proposal to detour and road closure on Bacon Avenue for Bridge replacing over Ambrose Brook. Any comments or questions at this time? Item number 16, resolution authorizing return of escrow at 151 Ethel Road. Any comments or questions at this time? Item number 17, a resolution appointing Timothy Dacey to the Library Board of Trustees. Any comments or questions? Item number 18, announcements and comments from officials. Councilman Ballard, any comments or questions?
Yes, very quickly, as many of you know, that we're scheduled to have a snowstorm tomorrow. So be aware of that, and please be careful, all right? The other thing, too, make sure your cars are not on the street. Make sure they're, you know, in the garage or someplace like that. All right? And be careful tomorrow.
Thank you, Jim. Councilman Khan?
No comments, thank you.
Councilman Lombardi?
Nope, Councilman Ballard already covered it.
Councilman Kapil-Shaw?
This Sunday, team the glove.
Oh, yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. Councilman Aaron?
No comments.
Mayor? Tim? Okay. Council? Okay. I don't have any comments at this time. I'd like to open it up to the public. If you have a question or comment, please come to the podium. Please state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes in which to speak.
Yes, I promise way less than 3 minutes this time. Absolutely.
Okay.
Evan Shigask, River Road, 101 Shirley Parkway. You guys definitely brought something up that I did forget to say thank you about. Mr. Gene Wilkes, I believe you're speaking of, the public information officer, he definitely reached out to us. He reached out to all the agencies, I believe. I think it's astronomical that you guys are going to be working with us, put together some sort of TV presentation to be put on PCTV to help us recruit. We really do appreciate that help, along with the help of Mr. Dacey. As I initially said, I always want to say thank you first for what he has done. Initially, before I said thank you, Mr. Dacey, for your help with figuring out paperwork earlier. So thank you for those things. I do want to point out that as we were here, I don't know if you guys heard over the pager, I can't hear the whole thing. It's an old system that they're using. It's the VHF, the analog system. Can't hear everything clearly. But there is right now an ambulance 8 Bravo 4 that's a BLS unit coming out of the Somerville area to service Piscataway at this moment. I don't know what it's for. I couldn't tell you exactly where they're going. I can't hear their transmissions. They have a smaller radio on their ambulance. But there is a crew sitting at River Road, and there's a crew sitting at North Stelton, and they're staring at walls. So just to let you know, this is a regular occurrence. Thank you.
Sure, thank you. Any other comments or questions from the public at this time? Please come to the podium, state your name.
Stacey Berger, still 233 Ellis Parkway.
Good evening, Ms. Berger.
Good evening, again, Ms. Quick question on the payment in lieu of taxes documentation that was obtained through the OPR requests, because again, not on the website. I was looking at the document, and one of the things that's listed in the addendum at the back is, and I'm sorry that I don't have this paper with me, but and I would email it to you, but I don't have your email address, so I can email it to the council, I guess. It says in there that the corporation will provide, the developer will provide a list of all of the members of the corporation, because the corporation is filed in Delaware, and that once the approval is done, that they'll submit a copy of the corporate officers. Is that on file? Because it was not part of the OPR request, so it should sort of be an addendum, but it wasn't there, and so where do we get that?
So another attorney in my office was handling it. I'll check in with them and we'll get you that documentation.
Do I need to file an OPR request, or is this public enough?
No, we'll count as the previous OPR request, and we'll get it to you. So you said it's the
structure of the company. You all approved, I'm sure you know, a pilot in lieu of taxes agreement with the corporation.
Yeah, I'm talking about that. No, I understand what the document is.
I just want to make sure everybody else understands. Yeah. I'll go Washington, D.C.
It's a small addendum to the larger, it's just probably just an exhibit to the larger
contract. It says it's an exhibit that would be furnished to the municipality as part of the agreement, but it's not in the documents that were provided. So I don't know if anybody else has asked for that. I would have hoped that somebody here might have. since it's sort of your responsibility to monitor that. And so along with that, I'm wondering on the on that payment in lieu of taxes, and I guess as well as for the Bakeland site that we've heard so much about, do you have any written in language guarantee commitment from the company in public that they're going to actually be hiring Piscataway residents or doing any job training for Piscataway residents? Because we've seen a lot of information about the number of jobs, and I've seen materials saying they're going to be good jobs, and that's great. But I'm wondering if the council has anything in the payment in lieu of taxes agreements that you've given those companies that they're going to be required to actually provide a certain percentage of those jobs, or if you're tracking that in any way.
It's very hard to legally require, you know.
Actually, you can actually adopt a community benefits agreement. Lots of communities do it.
Yeah, international, but you know, it's also about trying to get them into town. If you limit them to scheduled residents,
I'm not asking for the discussion backwards. It's just a simple question. You don't have anything in writing. Yes or no.
I can look into it. I haven't looked at the agreement in a long time, and I said another attorney in my office was working.
Well, there's two. So the other attorney was also working on the other. I just don't want to lose my time having an explanation of what the benefits. Why you feel that a payment in lieu of taxes agreement is good?
You don't want him to answer the question. You just want to make the statement.
So no, I'm asking a question about whether it's a very simple question. Yes or no? Is there in the payment in lieu of taxes agreement any kind of requirement or ability of the council to at least get reporting? If you don't have a requirement, does the company report to anybody about the number of Piscataway residents that are hired?
And like I said, I did not work on the agreement, or you know, on the periphery, I can discuss it with the other attorney that worked on the agreement and answer the question for you. But I don't have the answer for you right now.
Okay, but none of the council members know whether or not the corporations are actually hiring Piscataway residents.
So actually, he's our legal counsel, so he'll get back.
Get
that information.
But we elect you all. Raja's a great guy, and okay, we appreciate his hard work.
So Ms. Berger, so what he's doing is he's answering the question. So that's the response.
Okay, so you'll get back to me and let me know whether or not there's any guarantee that that any of those jobs, even a single one, goes to a Piscataway resident, or whether if they're not in writing, you'll let me know whether or not those payment in lieu of taxes agreements require or ask or appeal to those companies to report to the council or the lawyer or the business administrator or somebody as to whether or not those companies are doing anything to train or hire Piscataway residents on a regular basis for those jobs that we hear so much about. Can I just ask one more question? Does anybody know?
Actually, at this point,
if those are union jobs?
You're at 4 minutes.
Oh, okay, well, he's...
So sorry about that.
Okay, well, I'll ask next time. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you. Any other comments or questions from the public at this time?
I'll be back. Just quickly, I actually did that open request for the pilot agreement, and I had asked for the Bakelite agreement or the Best Buy agreement, and clerk's office couldn't identify. I mean, I got a lot and block, but I wasn't sure which lot and block exactly where it's going to be. But they were unable to provide the pilot agreement, so I'm wondering if we can get that information.
Best Buy is a tenant, so the agreement is really not with the tenant, the agreement is the property owner.
Okay, so I asked, and I said Best Buy or the property owner, I believe in my request. So again, I'm so far they were unable to identify those lots. So if somebody could provide me with the specific lot and block so that the request can be completed, I greatly appreciate it.
Okay, so thank you. We'll take that for you. Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
David Aikens, Naples Valley Lane.
Good evening again, Mr. Aikens.
Good evening to council. On item number 15, my interpretation of this, these bridges are in Piscataway, and the county is taking up this project. I don't recognize
the
bridge.
The county owns it. The county property.
The county property, and the township is supporting.
County, there are a number of bridges and culverts that are all part of the county infrastructure, the drainage system that the county owns and controls. Are over a lot of them involve county parks or county right of ways for brooks. They own this, and they're going to repair it, they're gonna reconstruct it. The resolution is, they're gonna pay for that. We're happy, and that's why, that's the purpose of the resolution, saying, yes, we want you to do this.
Okay, that's great. So that means there's no financial contribution of funds from the township, as you just stated.
Well, it's part of a road project. The road is, and it's, I don't know in detail.
Our county's bearing 100% of the construction.
Yeah, they own.
Okay, as long as the county's bearing 100% of the construction, that's, am I correct by making that statement?
Yes. So go ahead, example, the bridge on Sydney Road was done a few years back. That whole section, county project.
Okay.
They did all that, paid for it.
Okay, well, you answered the question. There's no cost to the taxpayers of the Skagway for this project, since the county is taking it.
Correct. Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Thank you, Mr. Akins. Any other comments or questions from the public? So, unfortunately, because you already spoke during this portion, I can't allow you to speak again during this portion. So
okay, four people went, 3 minutes each. Where's your ambulance? Still hasn't called on scene.
Okay. So, any other comments or questions at this time? Okay, I'd like a motion to adjourn, please.
Motion.
You have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Meeting's adjourned. Have a good evening.